There are two ordinances that are given to the church to help the church remember and appreciate the Lord's sacrifice for us. Maybe you can guess what the other one is. So what is the Lord's table here? What's the other ordinance that we as a church observe to remember what the Lord did for us? It happens right after you get saved, you are baptized, right? And so baptism would be the other way that we show the Lord's death. You get in the water, and then you go down in the water to picture his death and his burial, and then come out of the water picturing his resurrection. And so that's another, we'll have that another Sunday. We'll do some baptisms. But both of them serve as object lessons or pictures, tangible ways of symbolizing and remembering Jesus' death on the cross for our sins. And so today we're going to do that with the bread and the juice. We simply symbolize. There's nothing mysterious or mystical about these elements. You know, the juice doesn't turn into anything else and the bread doesn't. But they're pictures of what Jesus did for us to help us remember. So I wonder if you could turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 as we finish up with this time. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to adjust our glasses a little bit, adjust our view. Many of you have used binoculars before, and you put those up to your eye, and maybe they're out of focus, so you have to turn it, you know, things a little bit to get things back in focus. Well, that's what we're going to do today by looking here and adjusting our view at what Jesus did for us and remembering. Because sometimes it's easy to get distorted in our view of life as we're out in the world and having to deal with all the problems and issues day by day. We kind of get a warped or distorted view, and maybe you've been distracted by other things and not thought much about the Lord and his sacrifice for us. So today we're going to just get back to it, retune our focus and adjust our view on what Jesus did as he died for our sins. The first thing we're going to see here is a look backward, and that's kind of pictured over there with the bread of the bread. The look backward at the Lord's crucifixion, and that's talked about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23 says, "For I have received of the Lord," and that's the Apostle Paul talking. He says, "I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was," what? Betrayed, took bread. Do you ever think about how much that hurt the Lord, that he was actually betrayed by one of his very closest associates, one of his 12 disciples, Judas? And I wonder how much that hurt. How could someone, after all that Jesus had done, with the miracles and the mercy he had shown others, the teaching that had come right from God as he was presenting truth, how could somebody, after all that, betray him like Judas did? And then I think about my own life. I think, how many times have I betrayed the Lord? When I know I need to do what he's called me to do and obey him and live like he wants me to live, but I choose my own way, or I choose sin, and I betray the Lord. I wonder if you think about that in your own life. How many times you've betrayed the Lord when you know what's right, you know what he wants you to do, and you do the opposite? How could somebody, after all that, as I said, still commit such a sin against the Lord and betray him? It is possible, and we do. There are times we fall, and we sin against God, still, even as his children. We need to confess that to the Lord and make things right. Even though we don't lose our salvation, we can be out of fellowship, out of sync with the Lord, and we need to get back on track. That's what this is about here. We're going to have a chance to examine our lives and say, Lord, is there anything that you're not pleased with that I need to get right before we partake of the blessing of this table here? So he's betrayed. We look backward at his betrayal. But not only that, verse 24, it says, when he has given thanks, he broke it and said, "Hey, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." So we remember his brokenness. What he went through physically as his body was tortured and treated so cruelly. Psalm 22 is one of the most graphic Old Testament passages that talk about this. It says that when Jesus was on the cross, he says, "I may tell, I can see all my bones. They look and stare upon me." His body was so maligned and mutilated that his flesh had been torn apart where he could see his bones. And what a terrible way they treated the Lord and what he went through for us. Isaiah 53 and 52 and 53 is another passage in the Old Testament scriptures that describe what Jesus would do for us to purchase our salvation. It says, "As many as were astonished at thee," they were astonished. His visage, that is the way that he carried himself as a human being, was so marred more than any man. That is, he was so damaged He was damaged more than anybody else. It says his form more than the sons of man. Man, you couldn't, as Jesus was treated that way, you couldn't even tell very well that he was human. He had been so injured and his body destroyed and broken. And then we find in chapter 53 of Isaiah that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, so that we could have peace with God, was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. May we never forget the sweat drops of blood in the garden, the punches to his face from those soldiers, the crown of thorns that was pressed down into his head, the lashings from the cat of nine tails that whipped, that wrapped around his body and tore it apart with every stroke, the spikes that were nailed into his hands and feet to the rough wooden poles, and the agonizing struggle for every breath as he tried to lift himself up just so he could take the next breath there on the cross, his brokenness. Not only do we see that, though, but we read on in verse 25, it says, after the same manner when he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Let's remember his blood today. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. You see, it was only the shedding of his blood that could purchase our salvation. That's the only way God had laid out in his word that sin can be forgiven. Look at Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. It says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And the word atonement you can kind of see in their at-one-ment. So it can bring us back to be with God. At one with him. It can forgive our sins and make sure that we can have access to the Lord and be at one with him again. That's the only way that God laid out. It tells us in Hebrews 9, almost all things are by the law purged or cleansed with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. You can't be forgiven without the blood being shed because the life was taken there. Our sin required the death penalty. The wages of sin is death. So Jesus paid that penalty for us. He died. He shed his blood so that we could be forgiven. I remember in Exodus chapter 12, it talked about the Passover. And the very last plague that God brought against Egypt before the Israelites were delivered was the slaying of the firstborn if you didn't have something on the doorpost. What was that that they had to place on the top of the door and on the sides? Blood. That's right. And if they didn't have that, they would experience that judgment. And I wonder today, have you trusted in Jesus and his blood that he shed for you on the cross, the payment for your sin, has that been applied to your life, to where God can declare you to be righteous in his sight? So we remember those three things, his betrayal, his brokenness, his blood. Not only that, but it's a look forward there in the middle of the screen there. For as often as ye drink this bread, verse 26, and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. We look forward. It's a look forward to the Lord's coming. Through this, you know, this observance here is primarily focused on what the Lord Jesus has already done for us, but it's also a chance to gaze ahead for when he will usher us into his very presence. The Bible tells us that Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So we joyfully anticipate his return. It could be at any moment. It could be before we're done here experiencing the Lord's table. I wonder today, are you ready? Are you ready? Or would you be left down here? Because only the Lord's people are going to be caught up to meet him in the air. The Bible tells us, Jesus said, my sheep, and that's those that have believed on him and received him as Savior. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Do you know him? Does he know you? And will he catch you up to be with him? Or would you be left down here? And then it's a look inward, lastly, by the Lord's command. He wants us to look inward and examine our lives and see if there's anything in our lives that is putting distance between walking with him. Sin will do that. When we betray the Lord, when we choose our own way instead of what God says is right, it makes us not be able to walk closely with him. It hinders our fellowship, our close fellowship with him. It says, wherefore, in verse 27, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him drink, or so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So we're to investigate our lives, asking, am I in good standing with the Lord? In my life, is he pleased with it? Nobody partakes of this supper because they are worthy of it. None of us are worthy of it. It's all God's grace that we've been welcomed into his family. Nobody can pridefully boast of earning a seat at his table. That's not what the Bible is talking about there. The word unworthily is speaking of approaching the Lord's table irreverently. That is, you're out of fellowship with God, and you're choosing sin to love sin instead of loving God. And there's something in your life that you know he's not pleased with. He's worked in your heart about it, but you're refusing to give it up and to let go and to make things right with the Lord. That's what he's talking about here. Don't partake of this if you're trying to still hang on to and enjoy the very thing that he shed his blood to save you from. He said it wouldn't make sense if you would be approaching it unworthily, irreverently. And so we need to get those things out of our life. This right here, the Lord's table, has its roots in the Old Testament observance of the Passover, where they go through certain things where they drink the cup and eat the bread. And when they were prepared for the Passover meal, there was something they had to do. They had to go through their whole house and search out any leaven that might be in the house, because they were to only have unleavened bread. Leaven in the Bible was always a picture of sin. And so the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 5, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump? Just a little bit of sin in your life will affect the whole life. Purge out, that is, clean out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven. You know, get those old, sinful things out of your life. Neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So I wonder this morning, if you think about that, just a little bit of sin can hinder you from walking with the Lord because it affects your whole life. And if you're not willing to give that up, I would just say, don't partake. But I hope that the Lord is working in your heart, making it tender, to let go of sin and love the Lord with all your heart this morning. Have you received Jesus as your Savior by faith in him? If not, then this is not for you either. It'll be meaningless to you. Because the Bible tells us there's two kinds of people in the world. Either have the Son, have Jesus, have life. Either have not the Son of God, have not life. So if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I'd ask that you not participate in this part of our service either, because this won't have a meaning to you that should. And then as a Christian, if you are a believer, the Bible tells us to examine ourselves. Is there any unconfessed sin in your life where you've not made things right with the Lord? David prayed in Psalm 26, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. You know, try my reins and my heart. See if there's anything in me you're not pleased with. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, and lead. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And right now we're going to bow our heads and close our eyes and give you just a few moments to think about confessing anything in your life that may be hindering your close walk with the Lord or fellowship with him. And maybe there's something that you need to make right as you ask the Lord to search your heart and see if there be any wicked way in you, and then lead you to the right way.